The Old Testament lesson for Quinquagesima is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples.
The epistle is written in St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the 13th chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
And Jesus stopped and commanded the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed Quinquagesima to all of you, dear ones. We are now about 50 days away from Easter morning. And as you know, that means we are now about to begin our journey through the season of Lent. This week, in fact, as Pastor Wright said, starting with Ash Wednesday, we'll once again begin to make our liturgical journey to Jerusalem and to the cross and the empty tomb. And of course, for many of us, God be praised, this is a familiar journey. It's one we've made many times, and Lord willing, it's one we'll make again together many more times in the years to come. But despite how accustomed to it you may be, dear ones, despite how intimately we may know all the biblical texts we'll meet and the hymns we'll sing and everything else we'll encounter along the way, there's always still more for us to see. There's always more blessings for us to lay hold of in faith as we do. The journey set before us is inexhaustibly rich. It's rich beyond measure. And that's because God's mercy towards us in Jesus Christ, our Lord, his Son, that is rich beyond measure. And no matter how familiar, no matter how well acquainted you may be, no one can ever exhaust or reach the end of all the blessings in him. Dear ones, there are always still more good, true, and beautiful things for us to see and lay hold of through faith in our Savior Jesus. That's certainly what the disciples came to see in our gospel text appointed for today. By the time we reach this point in chapter 18 of St. Luke's gospel, Jesus is deep in his ministry, reaching the very end, in fact. Already he's set his face like flint to go to Jerusalem. And already the disciples had witnessed in his preaching and teaching, his many miracles, just the most extraordinary things since the world began. To some extent, I'm sure they'd gotten used to expecting the unexpected from Jesus and seeing from him what they never thought they would, him confounding the Pharisees with his divine wisdom, time and time and time again. Him casting out demons, walking on water, healing the sick, even raising the dead. By this point in Luke's gospel, they saw very clearly that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But our text today tells us what they could not yet see at this point. Here's what they couldn't yet grasp or perceive, no matter how hard they tried. And of course, these are things that we're all so familiar with in light of God's word, it's hard for us not to see them. We don't understand how they couldn't see it. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. He will be handed over and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Again, despite how familiar they were with Christ and with what the Holy Scriptures say he would do, our text goes on to tell us they understood none of what Jesus said to them. The things spoken by our Lord were hidden from them. They could not grasp what was said. And the Greek word used here is a form of the verb crypto, from which we get the English word encrypt. Like looking at an encrypted file on a computer or reading some message written in code, the disciples simply could not make sense of what was right in front of them. They couldn't do it. How could Jesus, this divine man, in whom they had seen all the brilliance and majesty of God himself, how could he have such things happen to him in fulfillment of the sacred scriptures? How could these things be? What seems so clear and obvious to us, dear ones, they simply could not see. But now let me ask you, do you see the connection between what Jesus says will soon happen and what he then does immediately afterwards for the poor man in Jericho when our Lord heals him of his blindness? You may have read and heard this text 1,000 times, but do you see the bigger picture and how these things fit together? Or is all of that hidden from you, like the disciples? As Christ was passing by, the blind man cries out to him, and although the man is physically blind, the eyes of his faith, of course, they see very well not only the royal status and lineage of Jesus, but also that he's the promised Messiah and the very salvation of God. "Jesus, Son of David," he says, "have mercy on me." And Christ stops. He commands the man to be brought to him, and then our Savior, the incarnate Lord of heaven and earth, at whose word the holy angels tremble, whom even the winds and the waves obey, before whom the demons cower in fear, he responds to this cry of faith that he hears with gentleness. And then in all his divine wisdom and humility, Jesus puts himself at the service of this blind beggar before him. Jesus asks the poor man, "What do you want me to do for you?" Dear ones, with this and the healing that follows, as he gives the blind man his sight, we see once again the heart of our Lord so beautifully on display. Above all, we see the heart of Christ as the most holy servant of the Lord, the suffering servant, who is pleased to make himself intimately familiar, well acquainted with our griefs, bearing our burdens, and carrying our sorrows. He's even gone so far as to take up a cross and die so that by his stripes we would be healed. And that's exactly what we need, of course. Because when you look at Jesus' response to the blind man, we have to be honest and ask ourselves if we see how unlike our Lord we've been to those set before us. how inattentive and indifferent our hearts have been when we see the help that others truly need from us, physically and spiritually, and we then turn a blind eye and in one way or another say, no. No. Surely you do see and know how far short you've fallen from being the faithful and holy servants we are called to be, and how great our own need is to have Jesus, the Son of David and the Son of God, to have mercy on us as well. And really, it's only when you see the great need that we have, only then can you begin to see the truly great salvation we have in Jesus, the suffering servant and the Savior of the world. Dear ones, look at how everything fits together in our gospel lesson today. Jesus speaks of his holy passion, death, and resurrection, and then he puts himself at the service of a blind beggar so that we would see and understand that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And like the blind man, we all receive healing and forgiveness and all the blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ by faith and by faith alone. Together with the blind man, we are those who have known the supreme honor of being served by Christ, even here, especially here in the divine service, him giving us his gifts and serving us by washing our sins away in holy baptism, him absolving us, nourishing our souls through the preaching of his word, and by preparing a table before us where he gives us his own body and blood for us to eat and drink unto salvation. What an honor it is we have bestowed on us by him and his service for us. And what an honor it is then for us to take after his example and serve others in like manner, in the humility and the holiness of true faith. I pray all these things are very clear in your mind's eye, dear ones, very clear. And no matter how familiar and intimately acquainted with them you may be, I pray that all the goodness, truth, and beauty you see in him and all the blessings we receive by faith in him will refresh you and appear ever new and wonderful to you. And that the season of Lent now upon us will take you ever more deeply, ever more fully into the riches of our common salvation in him. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.